time you breathe so differently. When you are peaceful, see your breath, how your mind peaceful means this is peaceful. So how to do some little breathing exercise? These are all external. Now comes our internal practice for which we are preparing these fundamental four qualities. No? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, these first four is to reach the second part of it for our meditation and spiritual practice. But now we come to the internal side is all mind. Spiritual practice means mind. You think with your mind, think of God, but you cannot think of God because mind is not cooperating. Mind has its own subject to run, and you are trying to keep the mind in God. Mind has other business. Hear somebody to talk to somebody, somebody to see somebody. Mind moves here to your friend, talks to your friend in the meditation. You are meditating, but your mind is talking to some friend. You are here, and you are. You last night's office work you finished unfinished, and what is left out, and that you could not solve the problem in your inner meditation. You are solving the problem. So that happens with every one of us. So that's an obstacle. That's why our mind has five states. In the Patanjali Yoga says that our mind has five states. One is called the Kshipta, Mudha, Vikshipta, Ekagra, Nirodha. They're the five. You need not have to know the Sanskrit names, but you understand what is the condition of the mind. Mind is one, Kshipta. Kshipta means, Swami Vivekananda's example, the mind is like a monkey. Monkey normally what it does? It jumps. Now the monkey has been made to drink some wine. Now how the monkey will jump? How much? A little more. And now this monkey beaten, drunk monkey have been beaten by a scorpion. Then what happens? So that state of mind is called the Kshipta. Kshipta means, and you know, those who know Sanskrit, you understand, Kshipta means who is just puzzled or totally distracted. He cannot concentrate anywhere, running. Spirituality is not for that person yet. He'll have to do something else. Kshipta mind is not suited for, that means that mind which is the monkey, drunk and scorpion beaten. He has no mind to think of anything but jumping. Out of the pain, out of frustration, out of demand, out of desire, it will run. It has no point. Like, you know, the moonlit night and you see a lake and with storm is making so much storm, ripples and waves, that you cannot see any reflection deep. It is not possible. So much wave. It only reflects on the top. Click. You don't see the sun at all or moon at all. So that mind is not fit for spiritual life. It will come in time, but that mind needs to be, at least scorpion biting should go. Little up, one step up. That is called mudha. Sometimes mind is dull. It does not want to think of anything. You ask him to do as if it is blank mind. Sometimes our mind becomes blank. That blank mind is not it's not fit for your spiritual life, which cannot think anything, like a dull. Someone makes them, when you are sleeping, suppose you're in a deep sleep state, what do? You cannot think anything. So in that state of mind, when sometimes we are awake, but we sometimes, my mind is not working. Is it not? At that time you cannot think anything. So spiritual life is not there. You cannot start there. Then come Vikshipta. Vikshipta is our state. It is drunk, sometimes good. Sometimes it is jumping. Some blessed moment, it becomes little calm. That is the big shifta. So big shifta mind is our mind which needs training to get out of the drug habit. What is the drug habit? We are all drug habits. It intoxicating effect of the objects we have experienced, drishta, anushrabika. We have seen something before, we have tasted something before, mind runs there more intensely. That is the big shifta, because distracted. Mind gets distracted because you are trying to bring in one focus, but it is distracted to where? Where it has got little taste of joy or some touch of some type of happiness or something. And because it is sensate experience, so we can get instantly. You want instant joy? Get some ice cream and put it in your tongue, your mind will say, wow, good. Huh? So these are instant joys. And that have so much previous experience of this instant joys that mind runs over there easily, so it does not get concentrated. But it is the starting point is good here. So first two state is outside our spiritual practice. No, there is no chance there. People may start doing, but it will take long time first to practice Yama Niyama more and selfless work more, doing some charitable activity and other things. Then it will prepare the mind to come to this big shifta state. Means it is sometimes it is quiet, sometimes it is rippled. So, and to take care of the majority part of the mind when it will be peaceful. So this is called the big shifta. After this big shifta state, which is occasionally coming down, occasionally disturbed, you practice your spiritual discipline, you pray, you do mantra japa, you do your worship or read some good book or sing some holy bhajan. That will help you to go to the next state when mind is becoming ekagra, is becoming one-pointed. So, what is the fourth? This is the fourth stage. Fourth stage is ekagra, one-pointed. One-pointedness may happen for even not for God. Scientists, they focus their mind in scientific object. An artist gets involved into become ekagra, one-pointed. Sometimes you call by the name, he or she will not be able to respond because he was so absorbed. You say, even gross example, the children, you see how they become ekagra, one-pointed, if they get the game. You give the game, and they don't need to eat food or anything. You would call, but he's not there. He's in the ekagra. That is the ekagra. So our ekagrata is also on certain object which we love. There is that one-pointedness. But if it is given to God, then it is closing to the state of going to deep meditation, deeper meditation. And deeper meditation, if it is really deeper for a longer period, then it leads to the next stage, niruddha, when the mind is totally cooled down. It is perfectly peaceful and you see the full blaze of light in every bit of your personality. Every body's every part will be vibrating with that consciousness and bliss. That is the state of Nirodha, called Samadhi state, where we find the example in Ramakrishna's face, you see when he is in Samadhi. That is the state when it is Niruddha state. And there, mind does not function. Mind's ripples are no more there. So, these are the fundamental conditions we have to understand. We want to meditate, so we have to understand in which state my mind is. And then from there we have to start our spiritual practice. But anyhow, these are the states of mind. And in that, when mind becomes ekagra, one-pointed, you have to go a little deeper than ekagra, when it will be niruddha. Ekagra, as I said, the one-pointed. One-pointed is only, maybe anyone can, see, you are totally absorbed in watching a movie. And it's a very critical moment in the going on in the movie. You can totally identify there.
And someone can push you, but you may not know it. Your mind has become so one-pointed. But beyond that, you should have to go another state. There is no more mind working to focus on anything. Mind become mindless. Mind loses its capacity to think of anything else but that one. Mind has merged into that mindlessness state. Now, these states are of the mind, and as we have discussed, that four parts of spiritual sadhana is, first is four in the external we have talked. Internal sadhana is that pratyahara, one is withdrawing the mind, and then dharana, holding the mind, then holding for a longer time, dhyana, and deeper dhyana leading to samadhi. Now samadhi is our goal. But in everyday's life we find what are the problems. This book is good because this is Patanjali, the philosophy of Patanjali, he has analyzed the mind in such depth. It's really fantastic. How many ages have passed, how many hundreds of years have gone. But these problems are still the problem of our human mind. Because he has analyzed the characteristic of the mind. It is not Indian mind, it is not American mind, it is not Russian mind, it is not Jewish mind, it is not Muslim mind, it is the mind. And these are the problems of all over the globe, wherever there is a human personality, these problems are there. What are the problems? Here it says, Vyadhi. Verse number 30 in Samadhipad, Patanjali says, they chit. To bhikshepa. These are the bhikshepa, means disturbance of the chitta, mind, and they are antarayaha. They are all obstacles. Obstacles to our spiritual practice. We want to be in joy. We want to sit and before the Lord and we take the mantra and instantly mind should go there. But no, it does not happen. For what are the probable problems? So, here Patanjali says, first is vyadhi. Vyadhi is what? It's called, vyadhi is the disease. Disease is what? Disease of the body. Your headache. Or something has happened in your physical person body. So it does not allow you. You want to sit for meditation, but it is not allowing it because your body has some problem. So we are in the hospital, or we have a severe headache, or we have any problem. Sometimes it is aches and pains and this and that. So vyadhi is one obstacle. So how to remedy that? You all know. Vyadhi, to remove the vyadhi, then you take medicine. And then when try to make the, that's why yoga I was talking about, and Patanjali suggests that yoga practice, asana. Because you don't get that obstacle too much from the body level. If the body does not cooperate, what is the question of mind? Mind is much finer. So its first problem is the disease or defects of the difficulties of the physical body. And then comes next. The sthyana. It is called sthyana. Sthyana is what? It is the mind. Mind means here, mind, intellect, ego and your memory. Four. Always, when I say mind, in this context, please remember, there is a package. Package of mind, intellect, ego and your memory. These four together is mind here. So the mind becomes dhyana, means it becomes inactive. It does not want to think anything, it does not want to move anything, does not want to get inspiration to follow some discipline, it's not ready. So it is called the sthyana. Akarmannata. It is not willing to do any work. So that type of mind condition, fatigue of the mind, that is called sthyana. This is another obstacle. Now, there is another which is called the doubt. Sanshaya. What is Sanshaya? He cannot ascertain what is the truth. Mind cannot ascertain. This is God is the truth. This is the ultimate reality. He is the source of all bliss and joy. It cannot ascertain. And he thinks, whether, what shall I do? You see what happens for all of us. When a phone call comes and you are meditating, what happens? Don't you run for the phone? That means your mind is not giving you the right analysis. What is that? Let the phone call go. Shall I give up now this spiritual practice to run for the phone? It's so important. But we see all the time we fail there. The mind is not able to sanshaya, doubt. Shall I go for this or that? And is it so much important or that is important? So sanshaya, doubt comes. That is the another obstacle in mind to ascertain where we should pay our focus, where should be less focus, there you fail. And as because if your body and your mind is not very much moving into that direction, there you lack in enthusiasm. Everyone should be enthusiastic to do spiritual practice. Many people, after a long time I hear, oh, I don't do anything, I can't do anything. Why can't you do anything? From morning till night, how many things you are doing? Useless thing you are doing. And you don't get time to do your meditation and practice? No, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, you can find any time? This is called the laziness. Because of the laziness of the mind and body, your enthusiasm is gone. Well, let me sleep. It happens with all of us. In the early morning to get up and do meditation, for our monks, you may have some excuse. You should not have any excuse because we are monks. But the body will say, oh, let me sleep. It is 4 o'clock. Okay, a little bit more. A little more, you see that it is 4:30. Then you again toss, then it is 5 o'clock. So this is your enthusiasm. No. No question. Jump out of it. Just go to the shower. No compromise. So this enthusiasm gets lost because what the question of practice start. Before that, these are the obstacles. And next is called pramada. Pramada means I do practice, many people go to the shrine and spend hours together. I am in the temple, I am in my shrine. It takes me 2 hours in the morning to do my shrine work. Then I asked, what do you do in the shrine work? He has kept 100 gods and goddesses. And to clean that, and to give everyone 2 sweet rolls, and 1 small cup is there to give some water, to clean that water, and this and that and that and that, cleaning, 2 hours. So why you did God, any connection with God? You clean the room, you can say. So, but you should spend that time in meditation. Rather, reduce that activity level outside and focus here. You are giving some little nuts and sweets, something, in a cup of water. Why not? Internally, when you meditate, feel that He is in your heart. Why not wash His feet? Why not give flower in His feet? Why not put a garland on His neck? More intimately. You are not avoiding worshipping. You are worshipping more intimately. So why not do that? So that is the point. We forget to practice the practice of meditation and spirituality. So non-practicing the path indicated by your spiritual teacher, that tendency that remains, that's a badha, that's an obstacle. This is according to, all I'm talking about, according to Patanjali. Now, you have now succeeded that part, and you try to do little meditation, but you practice one day, don't find joy. Second day, I tried, it is not joy. So third day, you drop off one day, as if Viruti. Viruti means stoppage. Stopping of your practices due to the laziness of mind and non-receiving any joy or anything immediately. So that is another, it is called abhirati. And as a result, in your spiritual practice, as you move, you see some light or something like that, you think that you have got everything. There's nothing. The spiritual joy, when it will come, it will overflood you. That will make you ever conscious of everything. You, with all the secrets of the world, will be revealed. You will see God everywhere. But you think that that is, oh, I got a dream today, wonderful dream. Okay, dream is good. But that is only end point. It's only the starting point. It gives you inspiration to know that, yes, you are in the track. But does not mean that you have ended your journey. So this mistaking, this is called bhranti darshana. You are seeing something, you are experiencing something, but not the ideal at the end. So you are thinking mainly, oh, this is the problem. This is the, I got it. So this is, and now comes another state that you have practiced, you have done, you have overcome all this, and then reached a point of deep concentration and meditation, which leads to samadhi. But once you get there, it's a higher state. One once get to samadhi, to keep again to be in that state and at all the time, that is called anavasthati, anavas, all of the bhumikatva. You are trying to reach that flight, you are not getting it, that's one stage. And then you reached once and cannot hold on in that level. Swami Brahmananda, who is Ramakrishna's spiritual son, in the middle, Ramakrishna, he was doing extreme spiritual practice one time, and he was asked by one of the Ramakrishna's household devotee. He said, why you are doing a more austerity? You got everything from Ramakrishna. He said, yes, but he has given me everything. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, yes, I got it. But I am trying to make it my own. Once you get it, but can you keep your mind there all the time? Can you stay in that level? So that's why it is called the Samadhi Anavasthitattva. You cannot avasthan, you cannot stay in that state of Samadhi comes down. So this is a very high level, but we have started from the beginning. These are the 9 obstacles there, our Patanjali has indicated. Now let us come to our problems. These are day-to-day problem. Day-to-day problem of our meditation is 2 problems, no? One is called, you get totally sleepy, or you are distracted. Vikshepa, one is called Vikshepa, and another is called Nidra. Nidra and Vikshepa, these are the 2 major obstacles we feel, every one of us. You are very tired after whole day's work, you have come, you wanted to sit for meditation. You have a good will to do, but as soon as you sit, and you start dozing. In the early morning also it happens. You get up from the bed and you sit for meditation, and then always the head is bending like that. Some of us, it is a joke. Our sadhus say that, why are you fishing? Fishing the bed. That means you are not alert even. You started to meditate, but you are so tired or so sleepy that you cannot do anything. You just doze off. That is the one part. It is called the nidra, sleep. No, another is vikshipta. Meaning it is jumping. You come from the end day of the work in your office with serious problem, unsolved problems, and you sit for meditation. See, all the time, what will you do? You will solve the office problem. in your meditation hall. And there is no chance for God anywhere. So these are the two of the Bhikshepa and Mala. Mala Bhikshepa. So one point when you get really that mood of Bhikshepa, what to do then? That's what we all feel every day, no? If not, then your mind will go to God. If you are not sleeping, and if your mind is not distracted in many things, then what happens? Third option is that your mind will become. So when the mind will become, then you need not have to think of anything. Then is the grace, you will feel the joy that day. Yeah, a little bit of that calmness of the mind can transform your life. Even for a few seconds, if one can do that. That's why I tell some people, what is the sign of your meditation? Meditation is that you come out of your meditation and go outside, look at the nature, you will find that there is some love everywhere. In the trees, in the people, in the everywhere you see there is some different personalities there where the joy of God is really manifesting somewhere. With a little meditation. So these two obstacles we'll have to handle very strongly. Loye sambodhaya chittam. That is the advice of the sages. When you get loyo means, as I said, what? Loyo means you go to sleep. Your mind is not awake. Loye sambodhaya chittam. Okay. What has happened? Get up. Just walk a little. Splash your face with hot water. And get refreshed. And then start again. Don't allow that. Sitting and dozing all the time, that is not making any progress. So, loye sambodhaya chittam. Whenever there is a loya, mental condition goes to that state of sleep mode, then you are to awaken it and do something so that mood goes away, and then refresh yourself and sit for practicing meditation. And then when your mind is distracted, then you have to bring the mind back again and again with making a friendship with the mind, teaching the mind, "Mind, why are you taking me in this place?" It's like you make a friendship with your mind. I'm trying to think of my Lord, and I might repeat my mantra, and within split second you are taking me to another thought. Okay? So what to do? Why are you doing this? Make a friendship with your mind, talk to mind. And you can make another thing. I suggest personally that you can keep a notebook on your right side when you meditate, and a pencil. Or pain. One thought comes, immediately note down the thought. And teach your mind, don't bring this question anymore. I will solve it when meditation is over. It's like making a compromise. And then again it takes to another point. Okay, that's my point. I'll have to think. I'll have to solve the problem. Okay, this is the second part. I'll deal with it afterwards. Not now. Phone call, stop. No, not now. This half an hour is for God. I don't care. Let the world go. And it does not do it. Ideally, the world is not going to void if you respond a phone call after half an hour or 45 minutes. So this type of steadfastness is very important so that we can train our mind, which is big shifter, taking us in hundreds of directions, it will stop, it will be less. Because, you know, the problem that if the thieves are very bravely go for stealing, when there is nobody, no? If you keep a camera, that also deters the thieves, no? Because, oh my God, they will catch me. And if someone is standing there, people don't steal there. So similarly, this mind is trying to go here and there, no? If you be a good watchman, Hey mind, I watch, you come over here. Why did you come here? If you be the watchman of your own mind and catch the mind in every point, afterwards he'll feel shy. One time he'll go, okay, I won't come. Second time you again catch him. Again said, hey, you came again. That means you have to be alert. But what happens for us? We may be alert for one time and then we doze up and we follow our mind. That's the way mind gets the power. Where the mind gets the power to draw me into these things, because I have allowed that mind to go before. Once, twice, thrice. Like if the mother is giving the baby or the child whatever he or she wants, then what happens? Pampered child. So, you're always demanding. And then you forget. You are just supply whatever the mind wants. So that has become our condition. Whatever our mind wants, we say, yes. We have never stopped. People say, why I am thinking of noble thoughts and my negative thoughts are coming up? That is very natural. Because never you have told your mind not to go to these things which are not spiritually benefiting or which is not giving you permanent type of joy. Rather, it went on in that direction. You supported that. And now suddenly you say, no, mind, come to God. Really? Suppose I am habituated with all the fried things in McDonald's. And you suddenly say, no, you should have to healthy food. No salt, sugar, no salt, too much salt, no this, that. Really? Who will like this food? I don't like it. But the same person will like the food after giving little time, and if he understands his benefit and practices that, then he will give up the taste for junk food. So our mind goes for the sensate experiences and it takes us all the rest things in the world, but not that which is behind the world, which behind me, that because we have allowed it to happen so. Now, if we watch our mind and we know that I am alert, I'm not going to do that again. So, you be the master of it, observe the mind, then mind will stop coming. That's why in, Vipassana meditation or some other meditation, there are so many techniques of trying to watch the mind, trying to watch the breath. All these things are there only to bring it under your control. So this is the big ship, the mind or big shaper can be actually handled this way, and you can be the observer, and observing the movement of the mind, this tendency will be lessened and lessened and lessened. It will generate a new test. And now what happens? If you do japa, now it may not be any test. Even meditation, forget meditation, even doing the japa. But when you once get a taste of this japa, what will happen? Then you will find that you will not be able to give up the japa. Swami Birojananda Maharaj, we heard that he used to do japa 100,000, 110,000 every day. Could you believe 100, 110,000? How much we can do? 1,000? If we do 2,000, oh my God, 2,000? I have done 2,000. It's a big thing. What is 2,000? He's doing 100,000. That means how much dedicated they were, and that practice. As a result, what has happened in the later end, if someone gives him to touch the japa, because he is the guru, when you take the rosary, it is to be touched by guru or to be blessed by guru. So the malas were given to him. Seeing that mala, having that mala, he like a child started doing the japa. And it started around maybe 10 o'clock. His lunch hour is over, other hour. He's not giving up that beads. He's so much joy that he's touching that. Instantly he started doing his mantra. No? So this mantra practice is so difficult for us. But if it is done continuously, a time will come, we'll generate a taste for that. And then no effort. It will spontaneously pull out. So similarly, meditation. So two major problems, as I said. One is the lawyer, sleeping. I am not alert at all, my mind goes to sleep. And another state, mind is always running for unnecessary things when I don't want it. Yes, those are necessary things for my job, for my work. True, no object, no problem for that. But that is, I can do it later on, not this time when I am trying to focus on the divine aspect of my personality and to get that eternal peace. So these are the two things to be watchful about. And to do, counteract this, one is to awaken ourselves from the sleep, get up from the seat even for meditation, and walk a little. Some people do walking meditation. I know one of our monks, he used to, very old by that time, he used to probably, used to maybe sleeping, go to sleep. So he used to do, in the early morning I find him 3:30. 3:30 to 5 o'clock, he's walking and doing japa. Because his body condition may be such that if he sits, then he'll fall asleep. So he's not allowing that. And then, bikshipt the mind, when it is distracted mind to bring it, you have to again and again, abhyaso. It's called abhyaso vairagyabhyam tan nirodha. When abhyaso, repeated practice, try to catch the mind back again, again and again, again and again, again and again, and vairagya. Vairagya means, you have to tell mind, teach mind, okay mind, you are going to this lovely object. Will it give you perfect peace and joy? Teach the mind. Teach mind. Mind will say, first of all, he will say, yes, it gives. You know, analyze how long it gives you the joy. It's for a temporary period of time you may find joy. And then it will be distasteful. Monotony will come. Even if, you know, heavenly joy people talk about. Heaven will be monotony. I won't like that joy. Suppose you like food. Ice cream, every day, morning, evening, noontime, any time you go, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, how many days you will like ice cream? Will not there come a time that okay, enough is enough? That's called the problem of sensate experience. But not that for spiritual experience. You get a little touch of joy today, meditation, it will pull you tomorrow more, third day more, and you will get. It is unending. You will not be, there is no monotony. There is perfection. And you will be absorbed. But any sensate experience, you do continuously, 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 there will come a monotony. You don't care for that anymore. So, if the mind can be taught that way, and say that it is not that you want eternal joy is not giving you. So, if you understand vairagya, then you detach from that. Mind will learn that this is good, and shreya and priya. This is priya. It gives good feeling for the time being, not shreya, the ultimate good. So if mind is taught that way, by practice of vairagya, abhyasa, repeated practice, and practice of detachment and attachment. Detachment to the temporary thing, attachment to that which is permanent, which our guru teaches us to meditate upon. So these are the obstacles, these are the problems we can solve. Our sincere practice is important, and to understand what we want actually. We have to repeatedly tell our mind, what do I want? If you are satisfied with the sensate experience, go on. There is no problem. Finish those experiences. And see whether you are satisfied or not. Yeah, if you can get satisfied, stay there. You need not have to come for other thing. There is one gentleman, I used to give the Gita class, and he always contends, Swami, you are talking about so much suffering and pain. I do not know any pain or suffering, any problem. I say, oh, you have no problem in your life? So if you have no problem, why you are here? This is these people who have some problem, and other methods and methodology didn't work. That's why they are trying to find some other way of spiritually solving the material. But if you don't know what is called suffering in your life at all, then you are either you are a Brahmagyani Or even, I didn't say that much, you'll be offended. I said, you will be Brahmagyani, that much I ended. But I didn't say, otherwise you're a dull, insentient person, that you don't know what is suffering. A baby will tell. Baby will say, I don't know what is suffering. You know, my suffering, I know. Who does not know? Tell me here. Anyone is here who does, can say, I do not know what people talk about suffering. Is there anybody? So, it is not. You cannot say that because we are suffering. We have the experience of suffering. So, it is only dull-headed person can say, I do not know. A table can say, I do not know what is suffering. I hit it, but you see, I hit got back. I know it is suffering. But this table will say, I do not know what is suffering. And Brahmagyani will also say, I do not know what is suffering. Huh? My body was suffering. I have no sense of suffering. Only he can say, or this table. But in between, we are in between. We cannot say like that. And if anyone says, okay, Baba, you'll be happy. As you have no problem, no problem, there is no problem, there is no solution. So you need not have to spend your time in listening to talk, reading books. You do whatever you are doing, and it is perfectly happy with you. Do, go on. So this is the point. We have to understand this is the problem of our spiritual life. And if we know, then we can solve it these two possible ways. And different states of mind. We are sometimes in dull mind, does not want to do anything. Don't goad him that time. Rather waking up and engage him in something lower. Sing a song. Chant some chant. Talk to a friend about God. This is the next alternative. Best is best. You can go to meditation and deeper. If you cannot go, next. But everything is helpful to take us to that ultimate goal of perfection. Thank you all. So if you have any question, I can have some 5-10 minutes.
Raj, one of the things that I hear often from devotees talking about meditation is the tendency to become impatient with ourselves for not making faster progress. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's a good thing. Yeah, good question. We really get frustrated. We are trying and nothing happening. But that is the point. The example is given that a mirror which has not been cleaned for a long time, and it is for so many days it is there, so dust has gathered in such a strength that we are rubbing, we are trying to clean, but no. I tried yesterday, I tried today. If it is thick layer of darkness, it takes long time. So we'll have to be patient with us, thinking that this, we are doing our best, but the layer of ignorance is so deep. When the sun is covered totally, the thick color cloud, that we don't see any light at all. But if you fan the cloud to go away, little by little goes, but it does not show you the sun yet. So in our spiritual practice, true, we are doing things and why we are not getting, that's a frustration. But that should not be frustration. We have to wait for that. Okay. That's why Patanjali says, Sātu dirghakāla nairantarjena satkāra sevito dhṛḍa-bhūmi. To attain to that bhūmi, that state, dhṛḍa, firm, you will have to infinite patience. You have to pay the price what you are asking for. If you want a $10 job, you go to McDonald's or some other place, apply, you can get quickly. If you want a $100,000 job, you will have to equip yourself for that. You cannot expect that I will like $100,000 and then I will be qualified only with this immediate $8-$10 sacrifice. You have to sacrifice for getting what you want. You have to pay the price for everyone. So we have to try to understand, not that I am not progressing, but progress is not visible to me because what? Because there is, maybe my past impressions are so deep, it is not cleaning. You see, if you say I am rowing the boat, no? And complain, why I am rowing the boat and boat is not moving? I am frustrated with it. I don't need to row the boat. Is that the response? If the boat is not moving, then question why it is not moving. Then you find, oh, oh, I forgot to pull the anchor. Sometimes it happens. And you are sweating. Every day I am meditating 1 hour in the morning. And what are you meditating 1 hour in the morning? Did you think of God or you think of your all problems and all the fights, all the confrontation which you have other place? This is a silent place to deal with that very well. And you can get new points to fight next. So you cannot blame because I did meditation and nothing happening. So we have to find, these are the points which we should be careful to think about. Really, why I am not progressing? Is this path wrong? Is the sages, what they are telling, they are liars? Is Ramakrishna, Vivekananda, Brahmananda, Shivananda, go to the point of Chaitanya, Buddha, Shankara, are they rubbish people of the world? They came as to cheat? Either they are right or I am right. If it is not working, my anchor is somewhere. That's where we have to be very careful. Where is my anchor? Where my mind is stuck. And it is not allowing me, my boat, to run towards divine. So we'll find that there are our weak points of the mind. Mind wants to move there and there and there and there. They're stuck there. Unless they are pulled out, that's why vairagya. Sātu dīrgha kāla. So you have to, Patanjali didn't say, somebody asked, how many days I have to do the mantra and get the liberation? Said, who can tell him? Patanjali says, sā, this practice, to dīrgha kāla. It should be done, dīrgha means long, prolonged time. He's not saying 1 year, 2 year, one life, two life, nothing. Dīrgha, dīrgha kāla means any time. How are to do? Dirghakalo, sātu dirghakalo, nairantar jeno. Not with this little practice. In the morning I sit for 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 50 seconds go in outside, roaming around. Even 10 seconds I try, by that time my phone call comes. And I did morning meditation, I did evening meditation. What do you do? No compromise. Nirantara, nirantara means no antara, no gap. Your mantra should be continued, like breath. Your remembering God will continue. Let it see. It does not work. If it does not happen, then come. Swami Brahmananda said, if you don't get, come and slap me on my face. What a challenge. That means we are not doing nirantara. Swamiji one time was singing a song, take the name of the Lord, nirantara, continue. And Ramakrishna jokingly said, why are you saying nirantara? Say morning and evening. As you are doing. Nirantarja. Nirantar means continuously you have to practice the remembrance of God. Satkara sevito. With all love, with all joy. I am blessed that I could repeat the name of the Lord all the time, no? It's my great fortune. And you find more joy to do more and more and more. So, it does not happen because there are some reason. And reason is that our anchor, at one point, and our practice. Even maybe less anchor, but still we don't do enough practice. So practice is more how to be done with analytical mind. Let my mind give up, which is temporary. Let my mind be engrossed into that which is permanent. And let me be always enthusiastic to go on doing this, even if I don't find immediate joy. But I can be satisfied. Santosa. I can keep my contentment. Why are you craving for vision? Most of the people think that if you are not getting any vision, any light or anything, then probably you are not progressing. That's a wrong concept. Vision and experience is not the only sign of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is your character change, change of character. How you are feeling, your love, your compassion, your spirit of service to others, to help others. How are you feeling day by day transforming? Your meditation, how you are relating to your family, your children, your husband, your wife, your in-laws. How are you getting a better relationship by from your own heart? That is the development should happen. And ultimately when the goal will be this, then you see God everywhere. There you cannot see anybody else but God. But to reach that point, we have to be this attention. I am to do nirantara and satkara sevito with love and affection and withdrawing the mind from which distracts me and which I can connect. Then you may put a question, how can I do that? Shall I not do my household duties? Or in my office duties, I'll sit in the temple and meditate there? No. You do your work for whom you are doing? You are doing for your office? No. Your Ramakrishna's office. You are working Ramakrishna's instruction. You are in your, what do you call the, paper working, and you think it is Ramakrishna's office. I am only being asked to do that. I am doing my best. So that work also is becoming a source of your connection with God. Not becoming an anchor, obstacle to spirituality. So we can do this way and we'll have to be waiting for grace. And ultimately it is said, darshan is good, but that's not the only sign of your spiritual growth. I give the example in a train journey or in a car. If you sit in the aisle seat in a plane, you can see so many things because you're sitting in the aisle and see the plane is moving like that. But if you sit in the aisle seat, window seat, you can see all these things. But if you sit in the aisle, you don't see any movement, anything. Are you moving or not? Yes, you're moving in the same speed. Only you have a mindset is different. So not that it is essential that everyone should have to see the lights and all dreams or divine dreams. It's good divine dreams and other. But we have to think that our character is changing or not. And we should be patient. And we should be giving enough time. Look at Ramakrishna. He is God himself. 6 years he cried and wept and forgot the whole world. He's rubbing his face on the bank of the Ganga. Every sun setting every day, saying, Ma, another day gone. I have not seen you. Please, please. And then whole night he goes on praying, crying, weeping, doing prayer and meditation. So we should take this inspiration and not get disappointed.
For me, I see two aspects to meditation, formal and informal. Formal where we sit down and go through the entire practice, as you spoke about. And informal where whatever I'm doing, whatever anyone is doing, either associate that action with God or just happen to think about God without attempting to, making it more natural, and let it keep come more and more frequently to me or to oneself. I believe that too is a meditation. Sometimes, at least in my case, the formal meditation is much more difficult for me than the informal one.
I think both will be needed. Morning meditation is necessary, and to create that meditative mood through your action, if possible, because you are a retired person. But those who are working people, it may not be suitable for him. But your work, whatever you are doing, you are thinking you are connecting with God and doing. That type of mood will help to meditate more. And morning meditation, deep concentration will help you to percolate that idea in your day. So it is, both are complementary. So we should do the both the practice.
Can you see like Brahma Gyanis in ordinary life? If so, how do you recognize?
No, to recognize, suppose you want to listen to classical music. So I have no concept of classical music. If I see someone is classical music, I say, what they are doing day and night. No? To my immature mind, I will behave the same way. So little quality is necessary, at least to understand the Brahmagyanis. So Ramakrishna, super Brahmagyani. No? What Brahmagyani? Brahmagyani power to the power 1000. No? But you know, Calcutta Babus have come, and Ramakrishna is saying such wonderful spiritual discourses. And now this Babu came and sat, not even one moment. He's pushing his friend. Hey, what are you doing here? Let us go. This friend is getting a little joy in presence of Sri Ramakrishna. He said, okay, sit a little more. I'll go afterwards. Let me, it's just wonderful discussion. And let me be here, son. And he sat for another 2, 3, 4 minutes and then pushed again. And then after he was still continuing to listen. And the third time he said, okay, let me go out and enjoy the Ganga air. Hare Ganga air is now even available. Ramakrishna is available. But in presence of Ramakrishna, he could not understand the glory of Ramakrishna. But Vivekananda, he goes to Samadhi. So it is a question of competency, no? So outside we cannot. But we can see in their presence, you feel a little uplift of your mind. That I understand. Our scripture says that Jahare herile hride spure Krishna naam tahare janiyo tumi Vaishnava pradhan. That's a devotional way he speaks. Seeing whom or in company of whom your mind reminds yourself of God, you feel something, some joy, which is not this sensitive joy, but you feel in His presence, mind little uplifted, you know that He is the holy man. Holiness is infectious, but it should also have the proper recipient. If the recipient is not at all ready for that, so it will not work. Suppose here is a fan rotating and I want cool breeze. And the fan is rotating. One comes ready to accept the cool breeze. One comes with a blanket in the body wrapped around and sit under the fan and say, oh, it is not cooling me. So he will not be able to feel the cold unless he is open to that. So, but yes, in one way, Vaishnava scripture says, seeing whom your heart reminds you of God, or you repeat the mantra of Krishna, know that that person is spiritual. So, Brahmananda, Shivananda, our Baburam Maharaj, Premananda, our gurus, you go before them, you feel a spiritually surcharged atmosphere. I remembered when I used to enter to Swami Shankarananda, my guru. That is the guru place for president. Our president Swamis live in that room. It was just entering into it, you feel that it's you cannot describe it, undescribable spiritual boosting. You feel that, what a place I have come. Suddenly you feel like that. So there is that people who live, they with that vibration is so strong. And if you go to them, then how it will be. So it depends on. But if our mind moves into the higher direction, we find some joy, type of joy, which is not coming out of any eating or sleeping or anything. But their presence gives that. Even he may not speak. Ramana Maharshi didn't speak much, many times. But in his presence, people used to feel that uplifted mood. So that is the problem, understanding he is a Brahmagyani. But very difficult to say, unless one Brahmagyani can understand another Brahmagyani. And we are ordinary people, he may not. Anyhow, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, stay well. Mother bless you. Come more to the center. Take advantage of the classes, lectures. Put questions and try to interact and get the spiritual benefit. Those who have initiated, take more mantra, try to japa. Don't think what is happening or not happening. Why are you so greedy for result? Let you do. Go on doing. Niskama karma. I did my japa. Finish. God will think about what to come or not to come. Huh? So it is like business. Oh Lord, I did 108 japa, so you come little 1 inch today. I do 2000 japa, so then you come 5 inches towards me. And let him take care of it. His grace, his compassion, he is there. But only we have to do, go on. To make our life peaceful also, contentment. That's also necessary in spiritual life. Practicing spiritual discipline, one should be contented. Even practicing spiritual life. I did 1 month austerity. Okay, what is that? Let us go on. In time it will happen. Thank you.
Maharaj, again, our deepest thanks as a congregation for you coming for this visit. The Swami comes, as you've heard in the introduction, he's responsible for 19 centers. You can imagine the demands on his time. So we were very grateful that you were able to come with us and be Thursday, Friday, Saturday with us. And please come again, probably 5 or 6 months. We'll make you aware immediately, the congregation aware immediately of the Swami's plans. And whenever you're in the neighborhood, Maharaj, as they say in the South, when you're in the neighborhood, come and see us. So we're so grateful for your time and for this wonderful instruction.
And our neighbors will ask them. And Atlanta's neighbors will ask him to come.
Yes.
Thank you all.